Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Hope you made it through a stormy night. I'm looking at the power outage map right now, Jeffrey. We're pretty good. Did you know that?
I did not have any problems getting in. Yeah.
What's that?
I didn't have any problems getting in.
Yeah.
I think my brother might have lost power.
No light issues. You mean none of the
correct?
Yeah. There are 202 outages affecting 5,332 customers. Percentage of customers with power, 98.73%. That's pretty damn good. For what was an unbelievably stormy night. Do you watch the weather?
So I had it on early when I got home after I picked up my daughter, and I had it just to kind of see, like, okay, is the timeline that they'd been saying all day, but once we got past like 7.
I kind of turn it on when I hear sirens, just sort of like I'm thinking maybe they'll help. That maybe they'll give me a little more specificity on the sirens.
Shelby County's so massive that it's like you hear the sirens, like, okay, well, is it
near me?
Yeah.
Is it near me? Is it not near me? At one point, I was watching, and evidently people from Memphis were calling in to complain. They said people from Memphis were calling in. We're not talking about you because nothing's happening in Memphis.
Yeah.
It was largely around Memphis. You did see the giant-ass tornado that touched
in
down in Arkansas,
yeah.
In Lake City. Lake City, I think it's called, is the name of so. That's where it was. Steve Connolly, I saw, had it up on his Facebook page.
One of my wife's college friends is a meteorologist, and he had a tweet with the picture, so that's how I saw it.
It was giant.
Yeah.
It was giant. The guy who was videoing it was videoing it. You're wondering, why are you standing there videoing this giant-ass tornado that is coming towards you? But he had clearly poked his head out of the tornado shelter, so I do hope that wherever you are, that y'all made it through just fine. Today on the radio show, I confess I'm a little late, Jeffrey. I'm a little late. We're a little late getting started, so we're gonna have to speed this up a little bit. But we're gonna have John Martin is gonna join us at 9:35 or so from San Antonio. John went to the Final Four. Even if the Tigers didn't, even if Tennessee didn't, even if Ole Miss didn't. Good news for Ole Miss, though, on the Chris Beard front.
Indeed.
Yesterday, Chris Beard will be returning. So we'll talk to John in the next segment. We'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And it's Thursday, so it's Writer Than Right Trivia Day. Jeffrey is on some kind of roll. You are the Oklahoma City Thunder of trivia. And what are we going to be giving away to any participant who, if not besting you, which is a very difficult thing to do, can play honorably?
Jeff, we got two tickets to see Cake at Bank Plus Amphitheater. That will be this month, April 18th.
There we go. So Kevin Cirino is going to join us, and we'll do that in the second hour. So that's a lineup. John Martin, and then Chris Harrington, and then Writer, then right trivia. I woke up this morning. I, in order to prepare for this show, I'm always preparing by 7 a.m. And I'm often preparing by 6 a.m. And I'm sometimes preparing by 5 a.m. But sometimes during the course of that, I do listen to see what they're talking about nationally. And typically, it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, typically, it's Aaron Rodgers.
As he would like it.
Or, if not Aaron Rodgers, the tush push. But
well,
things,
don't forget some Micah Parsons in there, too.
A touch of Micah Parsons. But things are quiet, evidently, on the Aaron Rodgers front. They are quiet, evidently, on the... They've tabled the tush push. And so what do we have remaining? We got Ja Morant. Now, they had two different Ja Morant topics. The Grizzlies, of course, in Miami tonight. We'll talk about the standings and everything else. Grizzlies have dropped. Well, just to let you know, Grizzlies are now in a tie for 6, 7, and 8. And if you actually consult, and do you think when they do this that they are incorporating the actual tiebreakers?
Yes, because I would presume it's part of, like, the programming.
So the Grizzlies are in eighth place right now, but they are tied for 6, 7, and 8. They are 20 games behind Oklahoma City, tied with Minnesota, the Clippers, and then the Grizzlies. So just a half game ahead, though, in fifth, is Golden State. So there are really two spots above the play-in line available. I don't consider Denver or L.A., which are two games better than that still, with only six games remaining. I don't consider those really particularly attainable. So there are two slots above the play-in line up for grabs. The Grizzlies are half a game behind Golden State, and they are tied with Minnesota, and then they are tied with the Clippers. So two will avoid the play-in, and two will not.
Correct.
Right? And you've got the Heat tonight. And you may be thinking, oh, well, that's to tie in the prize in Writer Than Write trivia. That's cake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because you may be recalling the Tony Allen night. That's when we last saw the Miami Heat and the Grizzlies rolled. Well, the Heat have now won 6 in a row, including beating the Boston Celtics last night, 124 to 103. So these are... The Heat have been on a little of a heater, and now they are going to be flying back from Boston, and so the Grizzlies will have the advantage there. But that's where we are. Grizzlies firmly in play-in territory now, but with the potential, depending what happens over these next six, to do better. But anyway, I was listening to Undefeated this morning, and they talked about Ja on two different topics. One was, of course, the finger guns.
Mm.
Now, you're always complaining that the stories never break during our show. And that's true. There is a giant conspiracy to bring down the Jeff Calkins show. This news never breaks during our show.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, Jason and John, and I don't know what kind of in they have with the world, but it's usually during their show. When did this, I wondered, this one, I was driving around and I was hearing you and Kevin Cerrito talking about the finger guns. So you clearly had a great opportunity
yes.
to get your hot takes off.
It still, of course, broke during Jason and John.
It did?
Yes. Now, later, like it was, I think it was hour three. And
it was Shams, the first reported it. The NBA is investigating because that's.
Of course they are.
That's going to take some real intrepid digging.
Who do you think they have on retainer? Sherlock?
Unfold what happened
Columbo?
That's the thing. For me, I was just thinking about this. I was literally going to say some names, but...
All your references are 80s television shows.
Gets me. You know, Peter Falk, you know, whatever. Like, it's Columbo. They all date me. So I decided I wasn't going to do that. They're investigating what is clearly caught on video, which is Ja, in fact, doing a finger gun thing at the Warriors bench. Buddy Hield, you can. I mean, they did just release more on the Kennedy assassination.
That's fair.
Right? You know, they did just release
the files,
the tapes. And so you can see Buddy Hield doing the gun thing at Ja, and you can see Ja doing the gun thing at Buddy Hield.
On the Zapruder film, of course.
Evidently, there may have been previous, like Buddy Hield may have been inspired, because this is how, in fact, five-year-olds do argue. Buddy Hield would say that Ja, during the course of the game, did it first,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's what the investigation. Maybe the investigation is very much like when your mother, two children arguing, and she tries to get to the bottom of who did it first. Or maybe if it's a smart mother, she says, I don't care who did it first.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed.
I'm just annoyed. And you guys, whatever. So the NBA is investigating. And the very short cut that they had about this, they went on and on about the gun stuff, honestly. She should know better. Can't believe it. He already had two other incidents. Whatever else.
Prior offender.
This is where they kind of, to me, went off the rolls when they started, off the rails when they started celebrating Buddy Hield. Here you go.
So this would be from Unsportsmanlike right here.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. And you know what? This is going to sound ridiculous, but kudos to Buddy Hield. You did your job. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship in 2016 because LeBron did his job. And I'm not talking about the way he played. I'm talking about baiting Draymond Green.
Mm.
That was the job in that moment. Hey, I'm going to bait this guy because one more technical foul, one more incident, he's suspended for a game, right? If you're going up against Ja and you realize he has no self-control over this, I don't blame Buddy Hield. Bait him.
As a competitor, isn't it part of your job to expose your opposition's vulnerability?
Yeah, he didn't do anything illegal or anything like that.
Well, no. You ain't supposed to be doing that.
Okay, but it's a good trade-off. It's a good trade-off for the Warriors.
Yeah, and that's fair.
You know?
And that's fair. Like, John Moran has got to be more self-aware. There is no doubt about that. I'm not excusing his behavior, letting him off the hook. But Buddy Hield ain't supposed to be doing that either.
No, and he should get fined, and John maybe... Maybe
yeah, I can see Buddy.
Suspended?
Both of the players need to be disciplined. Yes, Buddy Hield should get fined. Ja Morant needs to sit down again. It's clear that he had to learn his lesson.
Suspended in your mind.
Well, the only way you can get through to a player at the professional ranks is to take away their candy, take away the thing that they love the most, which is the ability to be able to play.
What a moronic thing to say. The idea that you would suspend Ja Morant for that. Listen, I credit Chris Canty for jumping in and putting a halt to the Buddy Hield celebration. Literally, what you're saying is one guy can do it and the other guy can't. Like, you're celebrating, hey, congratulations for Buddy Hield doing something that I guess you're saying you're not supposed to do, and because he got someone else to do that same thing that he's not supposed to do.
Entrapment.
Like, that's just the weirdest, like, that's the weirdest take in the world. Hey, you know, we arrested this guy for selling drugs because I don't even have a good metaphor. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Well, basically it would be the equivalent of committing a crime to get somebody else
to commit the crime.
Yes.
Hey, let's go rob a bank together.
Correct.
Great. I'll rob this bank and you rob that bank. There's a better metaphor. Does not get bank robber A, does not excuse bank robber A, even if bank robber B.
I've got one.
Had previously, let me finish this one. Bank robber B, he'd been in jail for bank robbery. Like, he has a long history of bank robbery. Bank robber A is never, so far as we know, bank. And he says, listen, I'm going to go rob a bank. And he goes to rob a bank, so B will get a bank. And we say, good for you, A. No, you still rob the damn bank.
If you're a rival of Georgia, I think it is your responsibility as a fan to go get a sports
car. That's a better
and
one.
Start drag racing and because they just can't help themselves. Like, we've got to do this.
You
got to
go 140 in a 55 mile an hour zone
but
in order.
You know, there's probably going to be a defensive lineman that just can't say no.
Good job. Uh-huh. No, you still are going 140 and it's ridiculous. That was ridiculous. And so I was kind of on board with Chris Canty. I'm like, good for you, man, for stopping this ridiculous conversation. But then it was Chris Canty who said that John needs to be suspended. Well, all the ridiculous things. Let's be clear. I'm no fan of the gun celebration. And if there was some rule against, like the NFL is very clear, right?
Yep.
NFL is very clear. They just banned the nose thing, right? Didn't they just ban the nose thing?
The guns, remember, guns were a big deal last year, too.
If there is a regulation that says you can't do this, and they do it, then you should be fined. There's no question. And you honestly, you know what the rules are. Like, you know, here's what you can't do, and here's the fine if you do it. Right? That's the way it is. Here's what we do to you if you do it. That's what you do in the NFL. Here, honestly, I was reading pieces about the NBA and gun celebrations, and we'll put aside Mike Breen saying bang.
Yeah.
like whatever, but we'll put aside that. And the stories that I read about, well, this is they have punished players before. Literally the examples that they used were 2015 Gerald Green, 25,000, and 2017 Josh Jackson, old friend Josh Jackson, 35,000. Is that it?
So yesterday, George had, I think Isaiah Stewart has been disciplined for, I want to say, for this year. I think there have been fines this year. I don't think anyone has been suspended.
If you can find the fine for me, I'd like to see it. Because it literally is the, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I think it's just bizarre that the story that the main ESPN story about this is this has happened before, and they go to 2015 and 2017. But very clearly, if you're not allowed to do this, and Ja did this, he should be fined whatever. And if people have been suspended for it before, which would be ridiculous, then he should be suspended. Whatever the rules are should be applied to Ja. He is 100% not above the rules. And I will also say this. I think he's tone deaf. Like, it's stupid. It is. Let's be clear. Let's be 100% clear here. It is stupid, given his history, to do gun celebrations. Can we agree on that, Jeffrey?
Yeah. No, I
stupid.
I said the same thing in real time.
It's stupid. It's stupid, and it's and if there are rules about fining, whatever, clear rules about fining, then they should be applied to Ja, of course. Of course. But weirdly enough, I don't really see those. No one has cited those rules. NBA has rules against making gun, whatever. I literally see no evidence of it. The NBA, NFL, it's totally clear. Can do this, can't do this. College, which a lot of people would say is overreacting. I heard you guys yesterday saying, is it college or pro where you get two hip swivels, two hip thrusts, but not the third hip thrust?
It's the NFL. You get two pumps, and the third pump is a flag.
Yeah, so let's be clear about what the rules are, and then by all means, apply the rules to Ja. And let's all acknowledge, even as Memphis fans, that it is ill-advised and stupid of Jaffer to be doing this. But the notion that you would suspend him for doing this, when that is apparently 100% unprecedented, is crazy. Totally crazy. That you have to do some big investigation. This should have been, if there are clear rules, and if the rules have clear fines attached, we should have yesterday or today had the news from the NBA, a John Morant fine $25,000 for blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And that's it.
Moving on.
Notion that you need some big ass investigation of something that's clearly on video, both Buddy Hield and Ja on video, is just moronic. And then the idea that you would even contemplate suspending him, first person ever in the history of the world, evidently to be suspended, is also moronic. So it's funny. I tweeted out my one comment on this was America. We're the only guns we regulate are finger guns. And man, I got a lot of feedback on social media, including a lot of people saying I'm the moron because I don't realize the distinction between the federal government and a private actor. And of course, I do. I do. I 100% recognize the rules are different. I'm not totally uneducated on legal matters.
So I've got one for you. So shout out to Cerrito yesterday. He put this in our Google Doc. So Isaiah Stewart was suspended for too many technicals, but as he was leaving the floor, this was a game where he got the double technical. It also meant he had to sit out his own bobblehead night.
Okay.
But as he was leaving the floor, he did a finger guns to the other bench, and he got fined $50,000 for that.
Okay. then if there is precedent for being fined, it was for that and not for the technical?
So,
are we sure?
It appears the fine was for the gesture.
Okay. Well, if there is a history and a precedent of fining for finger guns, then you should fine for finger guns. Everyone who does finger guns. I'm told that Anthony Edwards, when he was in Memphis most recently, was doing finger guns at the camera.
I cite Underdog Sports. Isaiah Stewart suspended one game for accumulating 6 flagrant fouls. Stewart was also fined $50,000 for making inappropriate and objectionable gesture towards the Pacers bench. That was the finger guns.
I see. I do wonder how much of it is. It's interesting. Can you do the finger gun if you hit a 3-pointer, but not the finger gun towards the bench?
I think that's...
In other words, is that
I think it's where it's directed.
That's where it's directed.
It's why when we talked about the NFL, I thought Drake London, I believe it was Drake London this year, he was wrongfully accused. After scoring a touchdown, he was pretending to shoot birds out of the sky.
Which is okay.
Correct.
Right.
I guess they said that was a taunt because it was at the Eagles. And so been taunt.
Because those are Eagles.
Right.
If they were playing the Bills,
right.
You would have
exactly.
been fine.
You would have been fine,
then
yes.
Out of the sky would have been fine.
Correct.
But if you'd been shooting horizontally,
right.
then they would have been
attack.
Fine. You'd be shooting Buffalo.
Right, that's a threat.
That's a clear threat. Whatever the rules are, they should be applied to job. 100%. Let's be clear. They should be applied. The notion that they should be suspended is nutty. But what I was going to say is, of course, I recognize there's a difference. Private employers can subject their employees to different rules than the federal government does, and vice versa, by the way. And the constitutional your constitutional rights only apply vis-a-vis state actors. You know, you don't have a First Amendment right with respect to your employer. Your employer can 100%. Discipline you based on the content of your speech. The federal government is not supposed to do that until recently. So I kind of am aware of this distinction, but it is still amazing to me. Our general societal celebration of guns and our general societal fretting over finger guns, because those, man, those are the real problem.
I would also argue, though, I don't think most fans care.
I don't think most fans care.
I think this is definitely a Warriors thing.
Well, I think it's a Warriors thing. I think it's a. There's reasons for the. It's honestly those things, because we are so have such a gun soaked culture, and because it is such a problem. It's why, in fact, the NBA is sensitive about it. But one of the things that strikes me as hilarious is that a lot of the same people who would want everyone to be carrying automatic weapons and would scream if you think of any greater gun regulations. A lot of those same people are the same people who are quickest to call Ja a thug because he has a finger gun. And so there seems to be some hypocrisy there. Anyway, it's I disapprove of the finger gun. I wish Ja had not done it. I would be astounded if he is suspended. He did a tweet yesterday, Ja this, Ja that, and also God bless y'all, which is the, I don't think he was really blessing y'all.
No, I think that's the equivalent of bless his heart.
It is bless his heart. That is Ja blessing his heart. So then they had a separate conversation about whether Ja will be a Grizzly next year.
Respect it or check it. Ja Morant will be on another team next season.
I'll respect it. I'm just having a tough time figuring out the obvious trade for them to get in return. I think at some point between Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, something has to give here, right, with both of them. It's not that they can't be great. It's that maybe change of scenery is just necessary at this point. So I'm going to respect that.
Check it. He's not going anywhere. Not this offseason. They just fired Taylor Jenkins. They're at least going to give the next head coach an opportunity to see if he can break through with Ja. I don't know who that next head coach is. It could be your guy down in Miami, Chris Quinn. It could be somebody that's a retread. I don't know who it ends up being. But they're going to give that next head coach an opportunity to try to get to Ja Morant and grow him up a little bit, get him to mature, get him to understand his importance to that franchise. Because the Memphis Grizzlies, if they're going to be title contenders, at any point in the foreseeable future, Ja Morant is going to have to be the guy.
Follow-up question. Do you think the Mavs moving on from Luka makes this scenario more or less likely? Let me explain. If Memphis was to move on from Ja, it would be shocking to some people. Nothing is ever going to be as shocking as Dallas moving on from Luka when they did, coming off a finals appearance that he had last season at age 25. So do you think Memphis looks at it as, okay, they went ahead and made the big shocking splash, it makes it easier for us to justify and do the same? Or is it TBD? Because if Luka goes on and wins a title this season with the Lakers, maybe you're a little bit more hesitant to move on from a superstar.
Well, just think about how bad people looked at the move the Dallas Mavs made. Look at how much they criticized that franchise. And they got Anthony Davis back in that trade. A guy that was the former number one overall pick that's won a championship and in the conversation for top five big men in the sport every year. That's what they got back. And people still ostracize the Dallas Mavericks for making that decision. If you trade Ja Morant in a market like Memphis and you don't bring back another star, there's no way that front office could be able to survive that. So I don't think that they're going to move off of him unless it becomes clear and obvious that Ja Morant can't get past the immaturity issues that he showed in the past.
They need a former player as their head coach. I know you brought up Chris Quinn, but they need a former player. They need an Ime Udoka type if they're going to keep him. Mm. Now, he's not going to go anywhere, but you get what I'm saying. They need a former player, I think. In that
like
game.
Sam Cassell? Like,
okay, good. Yeah, perfect.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Chris Canty was the voice of reason there. It's amazing to me how it works. When is a troubled great player, when are people ever anxious to get a troubled great player out of a big market?
In the NBA?
Sure, yeah, in the NBA. But like, yeah. I mean, they wanted to get Aaron Rodgers on from the Jets, but that wasn't... That's just because it was a freaking disaster. It wasn't trying to get him to another team. It was just like, don't have Aaron Rodgers on on anyone's team. Everyone thinks Aaron Rodgers is a bad idea anywhere. That wasn't like, we got to get this guy a change of scenery. The change of scenery always seems to be get the superstar out of the small market to a big market.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there another one? I don't know. If there is one, I'm willing to hear it. I thought what Chris Canty said was, if the Grizzlies have any chance, forget championship contender, to be deep playoff runs, whatever, in the next reasonable future, foreseeable future, it will be Ja on that team. If you just got rid of Ja, you get nothing. Whatever.
That's a huge part of the conversation right now.
You would not get value. You would not get anything close to value. So then you just, and we've seen this team without Ja. How did it look to y'all? How'd the team look to you without Ja this year? Not good. Of course you don't get rid of Ja. Ridiculous to think of, unless he A, demands a trade, then I guess according to the NBA rules, you have to explore trading him. I mean, we just saw that with De'Aaron Fox, right?
Yep.
Like if you demand a trade, then you apparently get traded. That would be one circumstance. But beyond that, I think Chris Canty is exactly right. You bring in a new coach and then you see how it goes next year with Ja. And because the idea of the Grizzlies without Ja is to me, and nothing really particularly to replace him, is to me highly unappealing. Highly unappealing. Having said that, I find Ja often to be unappealing. Like, I wish that we could somehow roll back and get to the joyous Ja. A happy Ja is a dangerous, scary Ja, right? And instead, like, it's just, it is...
This year in particular.
Yeah, it's just, I've said this before, it feels like we're in some kind of abusive relationships, totally subjected to his moods on a given day, right? Like I find it to be, and just the other day, literally, I asked, you talk to Jaron, you talk to Dez, and you ask them about leadership and whatever else, and they give you an answer about leadership and whatever else. I asked John some version of the exact same question, and he just goes to this, well, y'all going to say I'm a leader no matter what, and like just this instant reflexive defensiveness that is very clearly the product of a guy who played in a small market, became an instant superstar, an instant gazillionaire, an instant whatever, and pays way too much attention to what people are saying on social media, and has been very clearly shaped, and I would say misshaped by that. It's like everything is reactive to that. Just leave social media for a year and see Maybe the other one will return. So again, I think it's preposterous to think about trading Ja. But I don't actually think we're ever going to get back to that happy Ja. That would not be my prediction. But it is my hope, and it is a better hope than anything else, than the trade Ja scenario.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, it's not happening. Like, look at it in terms of, we talked about this, the two times that Zach has just spoken publicly other than...
You know what he did? He took it and shot it out of the sky with his gun.
Correct.
Real
pump
gun.
Pump action shotgun. Finger guns.
Zach Kleinman. All the finger guns. All the bazookas. It actually reminds me, there was a story over at The Athletic yesterday about, Pat McAfee and the Mary-Kate Cornett rumor and all of
the illness.
And then there was a story about, because Pat McAfee's under fire for this and they're threatening a lawsuit. I don't know if they fired a lawsuit, but they did it. Someone did a sit down. The Athletic, I think, did a sit down with Mary-Kate Cornett yesterday. That ran. And then you had commentary on it from who's the media guy over at The Athletic? What's his name?
Andrew Marchand.
Yeah, Andrew Marchand. So he wrote about it. And he wrote this. He basically was saying that once upon a time, Don Imus, do you remember Don Imus?
Oh, yeah.
Used to say all
nappy,
kinds of...
Nappy-headed hose, I believe it is.
Well, he said all kinds of outrageous stuff all the time. And then if you ever wanted to if you're media and you say, hi, here, Don Imus said X, and you called in and asked for the audio, they'd say, oh, we don't save it.
Right.
So he would say something and it's lost to the ether.
Yeah.
Right? Now...
Probably smart business practice.
Right, totally. Like, now... That was, but he existed in the days before the internet.
Yeah.
Now everything is captured, right? Everything you say is captured and analyzed. And so Andrew Marchand is writing about this, and he says this. He says, since its inception, sports radio has been an ecosystem where facts are often optional. Hosts have to come off as all-knowing, but their jobs are to gain attention, not to be right. Nothing about that has changed other than the fact their words are now recorded, replayed, and scrutinized. Defenders of Imus back in the day, or McAfee now, might say that hosts were just joking around. It's just comedy, or that McAfee's use of the word allegedly takes him off the hook. For McAfee's diehard audience, this may be justification enough, but when you read what Cornette has been through, blah, 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 whatever, goes on like this. But here's the thing. This paragraph, since its inception, sports radio has been an ecosystem where facts are often optional. Hosts have to come off as all-knowing, but their jobs are to gain attention, not to be right. I don't say this out of any arrogance or sense of superiority, but I do not say things to gain attention, not to be right. I just don't. But it felt like to me those segments on This Morning were...
Well, I do think there's a difference between national radio and local radio.
More hot take national radio?
Yeah. Because there it's a you're trying to get... It's a wider audience. And so...
I mean, there's no question. We look at our ratings every month and whatever. But, like, literally, Brad used to tell me, and they did this whole thing. When Mark was first got the thing? Was it like...
Get off the fence?
Yeah, Mark... Brad would say to me, get off the fence. And I'm like, no, if I feel ambivalent about something, like I do, for example, about Ja, I think I'll stay comfortably on the fence. I'll be on the fence. And if people listen or don't want to listen, that they can listen or not listen because I'm on the fence. But I don't – things I feel passionate about, I will say passionate things about. Do you – I don't know. Do you say things – and again, I'm not trying to be superior or holier than thou here. But do you say things to get attention?
No. You talk to me every day. You know – like,
it just doesn't strike me.
Even if I have a strong stance, you know that I actually believe it.
Yeah. It's just weird to me. So I don't know. That felt to me like Ja's the hot topic of the day. Rodgers hasn't said nothing. By the way, we do have a trade, though. We do have a trade. I got good news. They can move away from Ja because Joe Milton has been dealt.
Speaking
and here's the good part of it.
Speaking of finger guns, he's got a huge one in his arm.
To the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
They can talk about that for the next 24 hours. We're going to take a break. John Martin on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. We normally have John on Wednesdays, but he was flying yesterday. He's in San Antonio. How's San Antonio, John?
You know, I get it, man. All these years later, I understand it now, man.
What do you understand?
I understand why you and GP were so cranky.
Well, I was hungover. Let's be honest. Are you hungover?
No, I'm not hungover, but it is muggy. It's a muggy place. I remember vividly that was GP's like biggest complaint. He was like, "It's muggy." Well, and it is muggy as hell. It's so muggy.
So to review, during the Final Four weekend, GP and I had to get up and we had to do a remote. I don't know. We did it on the Riverwalk, and it was like whatever. I don't know what time my job was on show back then. 7 a.m. This was the Jeff and Gary show, back when my name was first, as it should be.
That's right.
You know, it was like vomit on the ground and everything else. And I played some corny ass, you know, hype song. I think it was the morning of the national championship game. I played Braveheart thing. Yeah. St. Crispin's
Day. And then
he was like, Gary's like, turn this off. This is corny. And he was right. But like Gary had prepared nothing for the show. Gary had nothing. So we just started yelling at each other. But it's mostly because the mugginess is worse when you're also hungover, you know? And early in the morning, hungover. And so we literally got into a full-on brawl on the, not physical, but because Gary and I aren't really good with fists. We're both word guys. And on the, it was awful. So it's muggy?
Oh, it's totally muggy. And, you know, what's amazing is that, like, I feel like I'm kind of in Memphis. You know, it doesn't really look that different than Memphis. Like, it's like there's not a whole lot going on. You know, the Alamo Dome looks like an Amazon warehouse.
Yeah, no, not attractive, really. A lot of parking lot around it.
Hey, you know, if San Antonio can have a Final Four, let's get to building. Let's do it.
And isn't, you know, did you go down to the Riverwalk?
Yeah, I did last night. It was pretty cool. That was nifty.
It's nice. I mean, it's a little bit like Beale Street, but it's nicer than Beale Street, right? It's nice. It's like Beale Street on the river.
The novelty of the water, you know. Yeah,
it's got the water, the novelty of the water. But that's it. Like it's, and I don't know. I don't know if they got shootings down there or not on the Riverwalk.
I don't know. I haven't really checked in. You know, I'll let you know by the end of the week.
So you're there for the Field of 68 shows. Is that right?
Yeah.
And are people there? Is it packed yet?
It'll get more. Like, a lot of people are coming in today. Like, you know, on the show later today, like, we're going to have, you know, Matt Painter on. He's going to be on from Purdue. Like, we may have some Final Four. So it's going to get progressively more exciting as the week goes on. Yeah.
So because you were flying, I gather you missed Kendrick Perkins was on your show yesterday. That was nice. You gave way to Kendrick Perkins. That was good. Shout out to Jason for getting Kendrick Perkins. But you haven't had a chance to weigh in on the finger guns. What's your thought on the finger guns, John?
I mean, it just it feels petty. Everybody does this. I'm pretty sure Josh Hart did it against the Lakers. I was watching that game, and I remember Josh Hart doing it. I mean, I don't think it's a good look. Like,
no,
for anybody to do it, you know, because I just think it's like, do it in their face in our society is like,
right.
I don't know.
It's not a good look for anyone to do it. I agree.
Yeah, but
and it's particularly not a good look for Ja. We can also concede
it's
that,
not,
right?
Right. But you know, everybody does it, and so unless you're going to start going after everybody, then this just feels targeted.
That is my impression, and we do agree a suspension would be ludicrous.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I mean, I'll fly back to Memphis tonight. I mean,
you have to fly to New York and take out Adam Silver. I'm not threatening.
Yeah,
him,
I mean,
though, just for the record.
No, it wouldn't be a threat. It'd be a promise. I can't even imagine a suspension would be on the table. A fine at most, and even that is extreme because you're selectively punitive here. That's how it feels to me.
Yes, totally preposterous. And with respect to the Grizzlies, broadly speaking, I'm now, because this is how I go through life. I just imagine the worst thing that could happen, right? And for me, what I am imagining is the Grizzlies being in the play-in, losing the first game to the Clippers or whoever else it is, right? Winning the second game against Dallas or Sacramento or the Suns, whoever it is, right? Getting in, therefore, earning the right to freaking keep their draft. They now lose their draft pick, and they play Oklahoma City, and they get swept in four games by Oklahoma City.
Uh-huh.
That is so grim.
Yeah, I mean, that may not even be the worst outcome, though. Well, it actually would be.
No, it would be the worst. It's better to drop out completely and keep your pick.
No, you're right.
It's lottery protected.
Exactly right. No, you're right. Yeah, that would. I would concede it. I mean, I would forfeit that series. I mean, I would let somebody.
But what you need Ja to do is you need Ja to do the finger guns early in a game, get himself suspended. Like, I want him to go all full cannons and everything. You know, I want him to bring out the whole artillery. Get himself
reload.
Chuck. Yeah. Right. And I think he should aim at the officials and get himself tossed and therefore guaranteed defeat. That would be my hope.
Whether he's in or out. I mean, it's unfortunate. Because this team, I don't know what's different, because 2 years ago it was the same group, really. I mean, with a couple of exceptions, and they were the 2 seed and they were winning playoff series. And it's like, that's gone. It's gone.
Brandon Clark isn't here. And then here's the truth. Off of the team from, 2 or 3 years ago, that was, you've lost Kyle Anderson, Tyus, Steven Adams, and DeAnthony Melton.
Right.
What have you replaced them with? Those guys. Just those guys.
That is a problem. But you know what, though? I mean, in the end, the playoffs is about the 5 guys. I mean,
Two of your 5 guys are rookies. And then the first guys you're bringing off the bench are Santi, who has certain strengths but a lot of weaknesses. He's no defensive Brandon Clark. And, you can say Scottie Pippen's an admirable guy, the way what he's done with his career, but
yeah,
that's what you're going to a gunfight with to continue to
fight. Right.
I want to switch to college basketball real quick. What do you think about Chris Beard staying at Ole Miss?
I just thought it was remarkable. I really did. I thought,
yeah,
like not that A&M has like a bunch more tradition than Ole Miss, but it is more a basketball job than Ole Miss. And the idea, like, to me, this is the message that it sends. Any place in the country can be a destination now with NIL and revenue sharing. Literally any place in America,
right?
I think the blue blood thing, Indiana had to hire a guy from West Virginia after 1 year where he didn't even make the tournament, now he might be good there. Like, I'm not saying he might, he could, but I'm just saying, the days of just people dreaming to be at these specific spots, I think are over, because you can build whatever you want, wherever you want.
It's what Penny said. The only thing that matters is money. And so, therefore, all these other trappings don't matter. And let's be honest, what are the trappings at Texas A&M anyway? It's also possible that if he does want to go to a blue blood, wait for an actual blue blood, not for Texas A&M.
That's true. It's more of a lateral move. That's fair. You know, but it's just amazing. Ole Miss, between their basketball and their football coach, they got to be paying like $15.5, $16 million a year. I mean, it's just remarkable how much money they have flowing through that athletic department, man. But I thought it was remarkable. I mean, that program had never, they had one Sweet 16 in their existence before this year.
Yep.
And that was Rod Barnes. And so now they're paying their basketball coach $5.5 million. Like, man, I tell you what, it's getting the price is going up. The price is going up.
I'll be honest. I do notice some of the comings and goings with Memphis basketball recruiting, the visits, et cetera. But there's so damn many names, I'm not particularly locked in on it. What's your state of optimism?
Well, I just continue to think it's notable that P.J. Haggerty has not entered the portal. I mean, and Parse had the picture from him working out at the Lori Walton earlier this week. You know, I mean, the thing that you're hearing is that players this year specifically are trying to get these things done quickly because they want to get in front of the house settlement. Because apparently after the house settlement's done, all deals above $600 have to be approved by Deloitte. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that. It's amazing, though, the notion that you're going to now put this article. They're going to lose again. Like, they're going to get their ass kicked again. This is the NCAA trying to do something that they're not allowed to do. They're going to scrutinize every deal to see whether it actually represents fair market value, because you can't just pay players, shovel money at players for being players. And what's going to happen is someone's going to get their settlement overturned, and they're going to sue, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose again.
And by the way, the Deloitte is the corporate partner of the NCAA. You're telling me that that's going to stand up?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, I agree, at least temporarily, it could get in the way of deals. Right.
People are trying to get their deals done now and not have to be subjected to that scrutiny. Well, P.J. Haggerty would be one of the most coveted players in the portal. It would be, it would make sense that he would want to be one of those guys that gets the deal done. And he hasn't transferred yet. He hasn't entered the portal. Doesn't mean he won't. I just find it very notable that he hasn't yet. So that's my state of optimism. Until PJ officially puts his name in there. Now, he doesn't have to put his name in there, to hear from other schools, obviously. But again, I just think it's notable that he hasn't done that yet.
Well, it ties in with the column you wrote earlier this week over at the Daily Memphian about one of the themes that you sense from the four teams that are down there in San Antonio, and that's continuity. Now, Duke's a little less, but even Duke, every single – what are the numbers?
Yeah, so four of five starters for Auburn and Houston have been in that program for multiple years. Florida, the number is, I believe, three, and their sixth man is – a multi-year guy, Thomas Howe, who's effectively a starter, right?
Yep.
And then Duke is a generational freshman class. So, but they still their guard, their point guard, Tyrese Proctor, has been there since 2022, pretty important player. But even if you zoomed out, if you want to say, well, John, it's the Final Four, it's the four best teams, fine. The Elite Eight, every single team in the Elite Eight had at least two starters that came back from last year, every single one. So. I didn't do the Sweet 16 because then you're getting into, it takes too long. But
in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. But you had first-year coaches in the Sweet 16, like Mark Pope, things like that. Texas Tech had multiple stars. So the key is P.J. Haggerty. He can't be two players, but it would be the first time in the COVID era since the portal rules changed, that Penny would actually be able to keep his leading score year over year. Never happened.
It also helps. There's two lessons. One is you've got to recruit players who are good enough and promising enough as freshmen that you want to keep them and you give them enough playing time and money and everything else to keep them. So that's part of it. Like, part of it. But the other part is that the transfers that you recruit, it's nice if they're not all Tyrese Hunters with just 1 year left, right? Yeah. Like you got to get some guys like P.J. Haggerty who once they transfer, and that has not typically been the pattern. Penny's had a mixed bag there. There's a bunch who Nicholas Jourdain had time remaining, obviously. You know, and then some guys who've come and left also had, like, Baraka had time remaining. Like, so, but you need to get guys who are not just one and dones, right?
Yes. No, there's no question. I mean, the approach to the portal from the best teams in America is so strikingly different than Memphis, you know. And it's not just Memphis, but we were talking about Memphis,
right.
You know, like,
we care
about
Memphis.
They're not building entire rosters. Turning rosters every single year with 15 new players. They're retaining guys. Like that look, that starts with culture, that starts with winning. Like, that starts with, you know,
what is happening? What is happening over there?
I'm being attacked by a dog.
That looks like a smallish dog.
Oh, it was a small dog. But it starts with culture, it starts with laying the foundation for those things, and I'm hopeful that this year in particular, you know, that happened. But by the way, before you get me out of here, really interesting.
Yeah.
I was talking to a coach who coaches in the Big 12 last night. I'm not going to say his name, but we were talking about NIL, and this was truly, truly mind-blowing. His budget last year for NIL was about $2.3 million, right?
Okay.
This year his budget is $6-point-something million.
Wow.
His budget tripled. Which is, you know, I also wrote about, you know, like reasons to be optimistic because I was trying to, you know, deflect your heavy criticism.
It was saying it's tough to win in this conference on the long term for all kinds of reasons. Yeah. And you seem to disagree with that. You love the American Athletic Conference, evidently. But you were trying to be optimistic, say Memphis has plenty of money. But you're saying plenty of money isn't plenty anymore.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like the price just goes up and up and up and up and up. And I don't know where it stops. I don't know, you know, is this where bubble kind of bursts a little bit? But, like, yesterday's price is not today's price in college basketball. That cannot be more evident.
All right, John. Enjoy San Antonio. We appreciate you joining us.
Okay, my man. Talk to you later.
All right. We got Chris Herndon coming up next. If you want anything framed, you know now. The Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, celebrating 50 years of...